It is not for you to know the times or the moments, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Blessed feast day of our Lord's Ascension, Reverend Fathers, dear faithful. The last words of great men are counted precious, carefully kept, quoted, remembered. Curious, isn't it then, that the last words of the God-man, our Lord, before leaving our land, this earth, make no reference to what he was about to do this great and holy day. Here he is, leaving this world for heaven, for glory, and with glory ascending with all of the angels, the patriarchs of the Old Testament, liberated now from limbo, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Judith and Rachel and all of the rest. And in the first place, great Saint Joseph. What a procession probably would vie even the glory of a Saint Gertrude's procession, I am sure. And when he gets there, the gates of heaven are closed. He, a man, opens those gates, closed to man since the sin of the first man, Adam. And then he goes straight to the Father's throne to be enthroned at his right hand, Lord of all creatures. And yet, ever living to make intercession for us, to pray for us as our mediator. All of this, but today he's thinking about something else. Why not talk about the glory that is about to come to him and to us one day instead? It must be pretty important. What does our Savior say? What are his last words? He gives a command and then a prophecy or two, even as he warns the apostles about prophecies, problematic. And then he goes, rising into heaven until the cloud covers him. The last word of the ascension goes to angels who tell the apostles to get going. The command first, wait. You're not ready yet. Wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost. There's something here, isn't there? Our Lord compares the coming of the Holy Ghost to a baptism, a very thorough cleansing, he means, in order to fill them with his own Spirit. Now please note, this has nothing to do with the so-called baptism of the Spirit, the old Protestant heresy of Pentecostalism, revived in the United States, in Kansas, of all unlikely states, by Protestants about a century ago. That's the religion of Bergoglio, you know, and the charismatics. No, our Lord is not referring to bogus speaking in tongues and false prophecies and emotionalism. No. He speaks about prophecies, though. Almost his very last words were to nix one that people never wanted to give up. For one last time, he says, no, there will be no temporal restoration of Israel. And this despite, eventually, American dollars and Protestant theology and plenty of plots and conspiracies within conspiracies, and all of the politicians burning more than a grain of incense, indeed a whole thurible full of the stuff every 4 years. No, nothing like that, he says. Nothing now and nothing worldly. And in general, our Lord expatiates, and don't keep trying to stare into the future. And don't be overly concerned about the hour for our Lord's return. How many have fallen into this trap? Prophecy is easily abused. It's not our main way to God. It never was. And our Lord says this as he goes to the Father. Oh, prophecies are interesting and intriguing and sometimes appetizing, but they're never the main course. Some of them may have something to say to us. Scripture says, do not despise prophecy, but so many are bogus or misinterpreted, and they have to be interpreted, again, according to sacred scripture. There has been a revival the last few unhappy years of an interesting prophecy. It was even on one of those Sede Vacantist websites just recently, a prophecy attributed to St. Francis of Assisi as his dying words. And when you first read it, it seems spot on, especially the part about a false pope, not canonically elected, who by his cunning will draw many souls into error and death. But if it is genuine, there doesn't seem to be that much historical evidence for it. It would seem to speak more about the events of the 15th century rather than our own. I mean, the Great Western Schism, the many divisions of the Franciscan order, and two or three anti-popes vying amongst themselves. Not a pretend pope who somehow manages to be both a charismatic and a non-Christian. But you shall receive, back to the main menu, you shall receive, he tells the apostles, power, the power of the Holy Ghost. You shall be witnesses unto me, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. This Holy Ghost-powered promise to the church is our guarantee. And all we need, even today, all we need is found in the laws and the teaching, the infallible teaching of this church, which goes back to the apostles and is founded on their prince, St. Peter. The last word on this day of last words goes to the angels. Don't stand around idle, staring. Don't be moaning about the past, about which you can do nothing except bring it to God. And I wish you would. Don't be stupefied about the present. Don't stand open-jawed with awe or scrupled into inaction. don't speculate so much about the future. Do get busy. Go be my witnesses. Carry a piece of heaven into this world. You have His Spirit, God the Holy Ghost. Talk about what you've seen. You're His witnesses. And talk about what you know. Oh, perhaps before all of that, just linger these novena days, starting tomorrow and ending on Pentecost. Just linger a little bit longer in prayer and long for that baptism for yourself again, a more complete washing from your sins so that you place no obstacle to the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.